Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and today we're going to do our episode 4 predictions and power rankings for Survivor Season 44. And we're joined by one of the OG specialists, the guy who started this thing.
One of the OG specialists. Probably the OG specialist.
No. Well, I'm the OG specialist.
Phil just kicked himself out of the podcast.
I am the OG. Will is one of the OG. But Will, who did this whole crazy shenanigans with me for the end of season 29, which nobody will ever find those videos, season 30, season 31, season 32, and then season 33 before having to vanish.
A lot of seasons.
Yeah, before having to vanish, and Alexa took over in season 34 because Will got to go be Dream Team guy. So if, in case anybody hasn't followed that story, he did a podcast last year with us, a recap episode, and Will was all about the the knowledge is power advantage. He was explaining why it was actually a good twist, which I think kind of broke a lot of our viewers.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. It's like it hasn't worked. No one's used it correctly, and that's why it's good. It's working because of what moments it's delivered for us. Again, that whole Jesse Cody thing last season is one of, I think, the best moments, not only of the new era, but maybe in like the past like 10 or 15 seasons, that move by Jesse that only happens if knowledge is power is in the game. So like, I get the inherent hate for it that you can like steal someone's thing, but no one's gotten their shit stolen yet. Like everyone's fine. Okay. So I just think it adds so much paranoia, and it works for me. Do I need to see it every single season? I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's not in the game currently, is it?
No.
It's not. No. This is we've gone 4 episodes, and this is like the longest we've gone without.
It's probably gonna come in at the merge, right? Is that what, have you guys been talking about that? I don't watch as closely as I used to when I was podcasting every week.
Which, Alexa, before you answer that, I just want to say, which was very evident last year when you came on the podcast and said Gabler had the least amount of chance to win at Final 7. But anyway, go ahead, Alexa, go ahead.
Well, at that point, I was steering the Gabler train. Mm-hmm. At that point. We haven't really talked about it, probably because it's like we don't want to talk about the person we don't like. And maybe if we don't talk about them, they don't show up. But after kind of like what you said, Will, especially after listening to Jeff's podcast every single week, it is doing its job. I don't think.
Has Jeff talked about it too? I haven't listened to Jeff's podcast.
You should listen to it because he has the same thought that you. He sees it as working. And I think a lot of what we're hearing, like from his perspective, with all of these advantages, is that they're just creating chaos. And that's sort of the piece that they're looking for on these. So I may actually at this point enjoy if a knowledge of power actually works. But with that, what do you think about Sarah's inheritance advantage? Because that's sort of like the next level of this.
Yeah, I think I'm all for these crazy things as long as they aren't super unfair. I think like the hourglass, like that's when we say, okay, that totally crossed the line, because now we're like breaching into territory. You have immunity and then someone's able to just like take it from you. And like that's like when we murky the waters a little bit in terms of fairness and game, that's where it's like, But if it's like this advantage, you get to collect someone's advantage that's already played, and you have to play it correctly. Just like the knowledge is power, you have to ask the right person, and that person has to have it on them, which is getting increasingly more difficult as people watch these seasons then go out to play. They're now preparing for knowledge is power. Like at this point, I don't see how knowledge is power is unfair, because anyone going out there knows exactly how it works. They know what it is. They know it's in the game. It's like how the first idol nullifier kind of feels a little like we didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. And then like now everyone knows it. That could happen. You can have an idol nullify. That is a possibility when you go out and play Survivor. So the inheritance advantage, I'm cool with it. I'm excited to see how it works. I think there's a lot of clever things you can do with it. Number one being just like get someone to play their idol, like convince them that they need to play it, you know, play your inheritance advantage, and then boom, you get their idol. So like, I know we've had so many idol searches and idol hunts throughout the history of this show. This is like basically an idol hunt, but you have to be a little bit more strategic and a little bit more clever. And I think if you look at it that way, like this is how Sarah can get an idol instead of just looking you know, under the well or a tree branch and she finds it, woohoo. It's a little bit like the birdcage thing. It's like, this is just a different way of acquiring an idol. So I'm totally with that.
What I think is funny about all of these, and you make a good point with the nullifier too, is like, I feel like since I've been watching Survivor, I'm like, don't tell someone about your idol. Don't tell someone about your idol. And now these are begging you to not, and people still do every single time, like clockwork.
Except for Danny so far. Danny still has kept it all to himself. So maybe Danny's going to come out here and change the nature of the game. But before,
wait, does anyone know about Matthews?
Not yet.
He's told anyone either.
His is pretty brand new.
Caroline hasn't told anybody either, has she? No one knows.
No one knows. Not even Jamie.
Unless we haven't seen her tell somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, the three idols, like, no one knows where they are except the people that hold them.
And the only one who did tell anybody was Brandon, because he really didn't have a choice with Maddie. And then he got in trouble and he ended up having to play it already. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how if you tell, it doesn't work out. And we saw Danny kind of run circles around Matt last week because of this. But that being said, a lot of the conversation, and it's great that we have Will here, because Will's a challenge guy. He's, you know, that's like his thing. He loves challenges. He loves Survivor challenges. And you had that video that was on like Xfinity or whatever, which was really cool. You show up for like 2 seconds and you look like a huge dork and it's great. But
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You remember that video?
Me looking like a dork. So
yeah, I mean, it just sounds right. Right. But so the challenges have been a big conversation piece this season. And there's been two conversations, at least on the internet and everything like that. And from these podcasts, one has been, there's been a lot of people who are, there's been so many repeated puzzles, repeated challenges that people are like, it's being highlighted that Matthew made it in his backyard. Carson made puzzles with a 3D printer, all of that. And then based on last season's boot order into this season's boot order, what we've seen so far is people have been saying, well, there's such an emphasis on the physical portion of the game on these three tribes that now it's feeling like it's unfair towards the female players, because we just had three go home in a row. And last season, I think, started off with four in a row or something like that. What are you making of the challenges on this season? And how do you feel about like the repeats like that? Like, do you feel that good on Matthew for going and trying that in his backyard? Or do you think like, hey, maybe they can mix it up a little bit?
I think any puzzle that has like a definite solution, that there's a way to do it, I don't like to see those repeated, because once you see it, you can figure it out. And that doesn't feel fair to me. It's like, okay, you just memorized the solution to all this stuff. Now, if it's like a big giant slide puzzle, and you have to look at it from this way, like, I know how to do slide puzzles. When you're looking at it from an opposite direction and then having three people do it and they're heavy pieces, like, that's fine. Like, everyone knows, we've seen apply, but there is a method to doing slide puzzles. But even, I mean, look, they're not eating, they're not sleeping. Like, that's fine to me. And even with Matt's thing, Matt, are we calling Matthew? He's Matthew. That's confusing me a bit. But Matthew, like, that little carnival game is such a fun classic challenge. Like, good on him for building it, I guess. Those things can be built in so many different ways. The balance beam has to be a certain distance apart, the rope has to be a certain length, the handles, like, sure, you can build and practice it. It's not going to be exactly the same, and you can practice that thing and just not be very good at it. Some people are better at that type of thing. I mean, if that becomes a trend where everyone's just like building all the challenges, then yeah, maybe it becomes an issue. If it's a one-off thing, I know Carson's like 3D printing all the puzzles, but like David Wright did that for 38.
Yeah. This has been a thing.
Yeah. I mean, they reuse a lot of puzzles and, you know, obviously a lot of challenges. I think a big reason why is we are down to 26 days, which you might not realize. It doesn't come across on the show that's that much shorter of a time. I know Jeff likes to say faster pace, fewer days, all this, but you still get 13 episodes of Survivor. You still get this many tribal councils. You still get, you know, you get all that. So it doesn't feel to the audience, I don't think, at least for me, it's like, I'm not watching there and being like, what day are they on? Does that really matter to me? But in terms of production schedule, if you don't have that time to build new things and test them, like, I think that's a big reason why we're seeing so many repeated challenges, is that there's a much shorter time frame, not only for the days they're shooting, but just the total production time and the amount of prep. Because I can tell you the amount of ideas that get built and then actually don't even play, because look, you build it and it doesn't work. And it's like, okay, now we have to scramble. What are you going to scramble to? You're going to do something that you've already done before. So I think that's probably what we're seeing it. The puzzles. Yeah. I think there should just be some new puzzles, but in terms of physical, like in strength and women get voting, I actually hadn't I'm not like as much of a super fan as I was before. It is interesting though, because I feel like so many of these challenges end with a puzzle, in that they all kind of arrive to the puzzle within about 30 seconds to a minute. So that tribe strength shouldn't, like, if I want the best challenge team, like if I'm out there, I just want people who are good at puzzles. Like I know eventually we can push the thing. We can roll the block. We can stand up on this ladder. I know we can get there. We might show up 30 to 45 seconds later, but I want the puzzle people on my team. So maybe they that when you're out there, it just feels like you want that brute strength, and that could be an incorrect judgment on the people out there. But I think you want the puzzle people. That's what you want.
And I want to ask Alexa, because I know this was a heartbreaking one for Alexa. Alexa has lost her personality from the season again very early. It happened with Chanel, and now it's happening here with Claire.
0-2.
And 0-2 with like your New York similar job types of Alexa. So
famously, I am a venture capitalist.
Yes, famously. Yes, that's what we all know you as, and that's why you just moonlight as a podcaster. But we haven't talked about Claire going home yet. Claire did not. She is the first player in Survivor history who actually was like voted out and didn't compete in an immunity challenge, because technically Jonathan and Wanda competed in an individual immunity challenge back in Palau because they had to swim to try to get the necklace. So that was an individual immunity challenge. So she's the first one who didn't compete in any type of immunity challenge on the show and went home. What about Bruce?
He competed,
but was voted out. There's your thing. So, but was then voted out of the game. What do we make of the fact that she didn't compete in any of these challenges? Because this is after this week was when it was really like, these challenges are too physical. It's unfair towards women. That's what the kind of the conversation
is crazy, because they all arrived at the same time, and then it was a puzzle, which doesn't require strength. That's why I'm just surprised. Because like you watch these, I'm like, I honestly wish we haven't seen. I mean, the first parts have been physical, but the puzzle feels like it is totally taking over as like the essential thing that matters. That's what's winning you or losing you the challenge. And maybe Claire wasn't good at puzzles. if she was, she probably would have been on the puzzle.
I think it's a little bit of everything in terms of Claire never participating. I think like, how can you justify it at that point? Like, this person never participated in a challenge, and it was sort of one of those things where it was working. And so why like rock the boat? And, you know, you look at 41, Heather never participated because they knew Heather wouldn't perform well. And I think that same argument was made by Claire and for Claire. So I don't think
Like it did always feel like it was a group decision. It's not like Claire was like, guys, there's no way I can do this. I'm out. It seemed everyone's like, okay.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where she like, everyone else is fine with it. She's fine with it. But I think to take a step backward with women voted out, like women getting voted out early, I think to your point a little earlier, Will, that physicality isn't necessarily like what's actually needed, but it is ingrained in Survivor that it's like, keep the tribe strong, keep the tribe strong. So I think people are just going to think that. And it's like, why women who are stronger than some men have been voted out anyway. I think it's people are just going to hear that, or people are just going to think that and vote out who they perceive to be weakest because of that. But then on the flip side, a lot of times women will tend to be more on these puzzles. And I think in general, the women that we see win, they play a little quieter, social, under the radar. People equate that with sneaky. Sneaky equals bad. And so a lot of the qualities that make for a good female Survivor player get them in trouble, which is kind of like, it's just really backwards, and it's no one's fault.
It's really well said.
And that's it. And it's like, you think a woman could play the way Danny's playing right now? There's not a chance.
No.
So I think that's more of the crux of it.
And I really want to, I want to say, like, with that, because everything you just said, we definitely saw from Claire in like 7 days with her telling Matthew on the sit out bench, like, hey, guess what's going on over here? Like, she was definitely, she was
in it.
She was eating it up. And I think I said on the predictions podcast the last time, I said, like, Claire was eating it up so much that I think she was playing dumb and she wasn't dumb. And I think that her strategy really was to kind of be like, look at me, I'm not a threat, don't worry about me, all that. What people I think are kind of disregarding on this season is the absolute anomaly that is everything that follows Bruce being injured now. Mm-hmm. Because by Bruce being injured, we start with the first immunity challenge where people are sitting out. That never happens. So for that to be happening, that changes everything right away, because now Claire, every other survivor in the history of Survivor walks out there and at least gets to participate in the first challenge and say, I was fine in that challenge. Now, if I sit out, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's what Sandra did in Pearl Islands, and she survived three tribal councils in the pre-merge. So I think that was a huge, that was a huge thing for Claire's game, because I think her strategy was always, I'm going to sit out, I'm going to play under the radar, and then I'm going to kill it when the merge hits. But by her sitting out immediately, she never got to, like they said it in the last episode, or maybe somebody just said it on one of the podcasts I was listening to, but you build so much camaraderie in those challenges. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't able to do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what Franny said. She's like, you get dirty, you get messy, you get sweaty. And even if you are only a minute behind or 30 seconds behind after the physical part, like, you do build that, yeah, that camaraderie. Another big thing with Bruce going home, you kind of alluded to it, is, and this happened with Jackson also. And from the challenge side, when you have, like, these early challenges are all about kind of like working together as a team, building, like, having good communication, taking on different roles, just like being a tribe, working together. And so when you lose a team member, that challenge, that first challenge is signed for six people to pull the the sled or whatever the, like, these are always based on how many people are left. Now five people are pulling the same amount of weight, and it feels like it's more physical. It feels like that's more important because you don't have, you don't have that sixth person. That happened if you rewatch the premiere of, what was Jackson's season? I keep forgetting.
42.
The same thing happened there, where it was a big heavy lifting challenge. Forget exactly what it was. If you rewatch it, it was designed for six people to move, and now five people have to do it. And like one of them is Heather. And then, you know,
no, it wasn't. That was the other. Heather was on 41, but it was Zach who ends up getting voted out first in 42 because he was in that position that he didn't really need to be in.
Yeah.
Right. It has a lot. You're absolutely right, but it has a big stress on the tribes and the challenges.
Yeah. This is also a bit of a pivot, but this is like a little bit around Claire going home, but more just around the pre-merge game in general at this point. And this opinion is like all from Shannon Gus, and like everything she says is better than what I could say. But Claire fought pretty hard for herself, I think, but then she could fall back on her shot in the dark, as anybody could. One of her alliance members didn't have a vote, or one of her, you know, whatever alliance members, there's just no room at this point. And and I don't think this is a reason that like women go home necessarily, but it's kind of a gripe that I've had with the pre-merge in general. You're always voting without, there's always someone without a vote. There's always an extra advantage floating around. You can always play your shot in the dark. There's just like no wiggle room. And I think that's why I kind of get frustrated with pre-merge votes. It's just like, ugh, that person, like Jenny, Helen, that. Carson kind of falls like that.
Carson's move is considered very good, but really it was the only move Carson could make, because the only thing he was going to be able to do is tie the vote, because Sarah didn't have a vote. So if he doesn't go with Jam Jam and Carolyn, it's a stupid move, because now you're drawing rocks at final 15 or 16, whatever it is.
Right. And even with Claire last week, it's like, if Matt has his vote, they have three to tie it. Be like, look, we're voting as a three. Like, Heidi, we need you to flip. And it, like, if you just need one vote for the move to flip someone over, and like that person just doesn't have their vote, or one of your allies doesn't have a vote, it makes it really hard to like flip the narrative. Like, whatever the current thinking is amongst the tribe, that this is the person on the bottom, we want to get this person out. You know, the fewer votes there are in the game, then the harder it is to, you know, flip that on its head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaking of flipping on its head, it seems like this week, based on press photos, that we are finally getting our first tribe swap of the new era.
We are.
And,
Is that confirmed?
It is. It is definitely confirmed because this is a press photo from CBS.
The word swap is this.
I don't. So I'm trying to figure out how this is going to.
I've done my whole power rankings without thinking about swap.
So here's how it shakes. Alexa, why don't you say you have them in front of you?
I remember it, and I think I know how it happens. I think they go, three people go on a journey. And if you watch the next time on Survivor, I think it's Jamie is one of the people who swaps or gets traded or whatever it is. I believe it's the three people go on a journey. They probably pick out of their bag, and instead of losing 9 votes, they get sent over to another tribe. So it's Jamie, Carson, and Josh, like pinwheel, and they all move to a different tribe. So every tribe remains the same, but just swaps one person.
So, oh my God. Yeah. So Carson, and I'm looking at it right now.
Survivor China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Carson is on orange with Kane, Brandon, Lauren, and Matthew. Mm-hmm. Jamie is on green with Matt, Franny, Danny, and Heidi. And then Josh went to purple with Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Sarah. And I'm staring at the photo, and this is from CBS. So I'm just looking at the photo. So that's where we're at. What do we, if this is how it goes, if how Alexa just explained it is the way that this is how they're swapping the tribes, how do we feel about just one person switching?
Oh, man, I mean, it's definitely tough, but it's one of those things that can cut both ways. Like if you're on the bottom and you're like, hell yeah. You know, and if you're on the top, it's like a bummer. And I think we've seen all like tribe swaps are always pretty random in Survivor. And you might be on the top of your tribe. You might go into a tribe where there's a clear person on the bottom. So I feel like there are so many scenarios that it doesn't like automatically paint a huge target on your back. I always refer to Millennials versus Gen X, where we had the tribe swap. And I think they're all tribes of 5 with a 3-2 majority. And on every single one of those, one of the three person people in the majority went home. It's not an instant death sentence when something like this happens. So I'm cool with it. And actually, I think this, we're just talking about women going in the pre-mage and pre-merge and tribe strength. I can't talk.
Nailed it.
But like the fact that there's been no swaps is got to be a reason why that is happening. Because you're
absolutely.
Like, before when we were swapping every 2 days, it's like, I don't care about the strength of my tribe. Like I'm going to be on a new tribe tomorrow. And that they haven't done any swaps yet. I am glad that we are doing some sort of swap. I think it's kind of silly to have, you know, we've done now 4 seasons of this. It's all 3 tribe starts. It's like, it's so the same. Like, I think we should just be mixing up everything. We don't need consistent version of Survivor. So I'm happy to see. I honestly wish we went to 2 tribes just to get back to that again.
Yeah, just to really keep people on their toes a little
bit. One other person who likes tribe swaps around here. It's been a while.
Yeah. He's finally come on to say hello again. It's about time. I've been waiting for that moment.
I agree with you, Will. I think and now it's tough. It's like, I've definitely complained about too many swaps, and now it's definitely felt really stale without the swaps. I think we're at a point in Survivor where like if it's 3-on-1, people don't vote easily anymore. Even if they have the opportunity, they just don't do that anymore. So I think there's still going to be plenty of nuance. It, at first glance, kind of stinks. But at the same time, they have only done this, I think, one time, maybe twice, if you kind of count All-Stars. So I'm open to it. I think it saves some people. I think it screws other people, but I'll save that for power rankings, which should probably start doing.
We're about to jump in. Yeah, Troy Zan just called me hot, and that was the way that I wanted to get. And yes, that is
now Will, that's our
way back when. Yes, it is. But so everybody wants to. So I do it too because I feel like we kind of have to in certain aspects. But everybody wants to complain how unfair Survivor has become, right? Like it's not fair to women in the pre-merge. It's not fair to men in the post-merge. It's not fair because people are losing votes. It's not fair because there's a 66% chance that you reach in and get a no vote. And you don't have a choice not to do that, which we just saw this season, which I didn't like. But Lex, when we had Lex on the show way back, around 40, we had Lex Vandenberg on. And Lex Vandenberg was like, everybody talks about that now, but the first tribe swap was like it worked out for him, and he was like, it really wasn't fair. Like, and it worked out for Lex and it worked out for his alliance. And obviously him, Big Tom and Ethan go on to be iconic Survivor players. But like, Survivor's always done things that are going to be unfair for somebody.
Absolutely. Like, there's,
it's the game.
Like, Aaron Riesberger or whatever his last name is, like, got 13th place for literally no reason. So I'm okay with this swap because, again, it feels like they're trying to do something new. And, Will, that's what you were saying was it's not formulaic when they do something like this.
Yeah, well, I just – Survivor really has never been fair. You can even look at, like, the starting people on your tribe. Like, you might just get totally screwed somehow. And that, obviously, that's kind of like a more subjective way of looking at it as opposed to, like, Aaron going in China. But, yeah, if – there shouldn't be people watching Survivor that's like, I want to see the ultimate strategist play the ultimate strategic game that's completely fair. It's like, no, we still are like on islands and like doing these big challenges and there are these twists. And it's like, we're watching an entertaining TV show with like awesome cast members and an awesome location, voting each other out. Yes, there's a ton of strategy, but this is not a purely strategic game. And if you watch it hoping for just like, I want the numbers and the votes, like, that's not what Survivor is. It hasn't been that way, I don't think, ever. And especially now, it's getting farther away from, you know, a really strategic numbers game. It is more like Survivor. You have to survive, and there are the elements now aren't just like no food and bad weather. It's like the elements are you lost your vote. You know, you're gonna move to this tribe on your own. We're gonna break an hour. Like, you just have to come, everything that comes your way, you got to figure out how to get by it. That's where we're at. And I think it can provide some fun TV. It can also feel unfair, but that's kind of where we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start off the power rankings real quick because after seeing this swap, I've never been more confident in Jam Jam. So Jam Jam, numero uno. There is
The tribes again? I need to type them out because I did my power rankings. I had no idea we were swapping.
So it's Jam Jam, Carolyn, Sarah, with Josh. So Josh is now there. It is Matt, Franny, Danny, Heidi, and now Jamie is there. And then it is Brandon, Lauren, Matthew, Kane, and Carson is there.
All right.
So I love Jam Jam's spot here. I think Jam Jam is in a perfect spot. I think him and Josh are going to get along really well. I think that Josh, if Josh goes over there and Sarah says, look, I'm on the outs. Can we team up? This is a strong pair. I think that's actually going to hurt Sarah because Josh is going to be like, well, now I know they're a pair. I'm just going to go be safe with them rather than being the easy vote. Or Josh is the easy vote, or Carolyn now becomes a vote because Sarah and Josh do decide to team up and they figure out a way to vote out Carolyn. No matter what it is, I love Jam Jam's spot here. I think Jam Jam, and honestly, I think Carolyn's in a really good spot too, but I'll talk about her. I don't want to just go 1-2 with Carolyn and Jam Jam, but Jam Jam's in a great spot. And I think he's long for this game after seeing this swap because I think he gets two more boots. If we do two more tribal councils with the three tribe format, he's safe for two more votes. I'd be really shocked to see him go home. And then I think after that, they're just going to merge.
I'll go 1-2, Carolyn 1, Jam Jam 2. Okay. I agree with you. I think this is huge for Sarah, but doesn't totally have to be. But I think Carolyn has that idol, and I think she's proven that she very well could play it correctly. I think when she first got her idol, people were like, I don't know what she's going to do with it. But I think she's definitely proved that she'll be able to do that. But she and Jam Jam are such a tight duo. I think they complement each other really well. So I think they are absolutely going to dictate the vote, assuming they go to tribal. But they seem to be doing pretty okay. So if Carolyn won, Jam Jam too.
Now, let me ask you this, guys. Do you think that by them doing this type of swap, the three people who swap tribes are going to get any type of advantage, even if it's not like an idol or a powered idol or something like that? Do you think there's going to be anything they can do that will give them an advantage to save them?
They could.
It's a pretty good point. Like,
yeah, they probably will.
Like, now that you mention it, very likely.
Yeah.
I would think so. Just because it seems like they're always trying to put anything into the game. And this seems like a great opportunity where it actually feel like, okay, you're getting kind of screwed. So here's something for you that you can, you know, use to help you out.
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's at least in my head.
Correct.
But what would it be? Like, you can't give them an idol, like an extra vote. We're just like taking
a vote, you know, taking away votes. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe this is how the knowledge is power comes into the game.
Oh,
all three of them.
Three?
All three of them. Yeah, exactly. Pure chaos.
right, I don't want to go the same as you guys. I'm going to stick with my current rankings start, what I had before coming in. I have Danny number one, mainly because he has the idol, and I just think he is the center of that tribe. Like, after last week, what I really liked about last week from Danny and Franny, actually, was when Claire was trying to pull over Heidi. Heidi goes up to then Danny. It's like, I'm the swing vote. They're trying to vote Josh. And instead of the sides staying separate and fighting for Heidi and their vote, it was Franny, Heidi, and Danny at the well. And they're like, let's figure this out, guys. Like, let's just, like, let's make sure it's not us. And, like, let's settle on something. And they're like, Heidi, like, you are the swing. We'll go with you. But it wasn't like it was two factions battling. And they, like, decided going in, look, we're going to have a unanimous vote tonight. I really liked that approach from both Danny and Franny. Danny obviously has the idol. I'm looking at his tribe now. I think Danny and Franny and Matt are going to, I think they're actually going to stick together. I know it's been, there has been a lot of talk about Franny and Matt having a big target, but I think if I'm Danny, he keeps saying, I love the attention on them. I love that they are just drawing eyeballs to them. Why go ahead and then vote them out if they are getting all this attention? It's so, I think Danny's going to keep that couple in the game as long as he can, so that people are not looking at him. So he still knows where the fake idol is on his tribe. He knows about his own idol, obviously. Jamie's coming over, who I think is gonna be a really easy target, so give me Danny.
I have Danny at number two, and everything that you just said, he's your number three. I mean, Danny's just in a great spot, and it's hard to deny that with how everything's going. I think when I look at that new tribe now, what's going to end up happening there? Initially, I say, wow, Jamie coming over could be really good for Matt and Franny, because maybe she's like a kindred spirit with them. She's a little bit more like, I can't think of another word other than out there, but I don't mean it like that. Like, she's much more upbeat. She's much more just like positive. She's
warm.
Warm, thank you. And she's a little bit less of like a game bot, and a little bit more of how can I have fun being out here. And I think Franny and Matt both understand the game, but I think they are trying to just have a really good time while they're out there. So this could be good. The problem is Matt still doesn't have a vote. So Franny and Jamie and Matt can't team up. And Heidi showed last week that Danny and her are 1A and 1B. So if they stick together and they pull Jamie in, then
see, they all, that's what I'm saying. They all voted together anyway last week. You have this group of four that just all voted together.
And
I'm saying voted differently. I think Jamie's value on like her tribe, she's like, now she's the swing vote between Franny and Matt and then and Danny and Heidi, but they came together and made a consensus decision. I think they're going to want to maybe continue working together.
And if, so they'll either stay together and vote out Jamie, or Jamie will get something to save herself. And then in that situation, really the only one who can go home is Matt, because I don't, like, he doesn't have a vote. I think he is screwed by not having a vote. I think Danny's going to want to keep Matt because of the fake idol and like all of that. But if everybody says, well, we should vote out Matt because he has an idol and we want to flush it, Danny doesn't really have a choice but to go along with that, because otherwise he's going to overplay his hand.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I honestly think Danny is, in similar to what Matthew is doing also, it's like he's kind of everybody's number one. It felt like Danny and Claire were getting along. And then Josh and Danny appear to be really tight. And then Heidi and Danny are clearly very tight. I know Franny and Matt have each other. But Danny, I think, just because Heidi says, you know, I really trust Danny. I don't know if Danny feels the same way about Heidi. I have an inkling that he would sooner get rid of Heidi than to get rid of Matt or Franny. I think he loves the attention that Matt and Franny brings. I think he loves that he knows that Matt thinks he has an idol. Like, he has basically all the information on his tribe, and he has like all the eyeballs off him onto this like really powerful couple. So I think he would lose Heidi, because this is what's going to happen. Would he rather tell Heidi that he found the real idol? Or would he rather just like not, like, if they all say we got to vote for Matt, and then they're like, hey, Matt has this idol. When is he going to reveal that? Because if he reveals that that Matt's idol is fake, he has to then, you know,
come reveal that he has
his own idol. So yeah. I think he'd rather keep that a secret and vote out Heidi if it came down to that.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
Will, who do you have it to?
I have Jam Jam. Is it Yam Yam or Jam Jam?
Jam Jam.
Jam Jam. A lot of what you guys, I have Jam Jam at two and Carolyn at three. it's basically it, the fact that they stay together after the tribe swap is huge for both of them. They were going to be my 2 and 3 anyway, and the fact that they're together is just it's perfect. They're not going to – it doesn't seem like they would turn on each other. I was actually really concerned for Carson. I think you've been saying – that Sarah is like the slam dunk easy boot. I don't know. I could have definitely seen if these tribes had stayed that Carson might have gotten the boot if that tribe went to tribal council. So I'm keeping those two at 2 and 3.
Yeah, I really want to be different, but I'm gonna put Carolyn at 3. I just thought like not putting her at 2 would be nice, but putting her at 3, I mean, Jam Jam and Carolyn are the safest. And on a 4-person tribe, there's nothing Josh can do to really fix, like to change that. Like Jam Jam and Carolyn aren't gonna vote each other out because of that. The best anybody else can do is cause a 2-2 tie. And nobody's going to do that this early in the game for somebody they just met. Like Josh is not going to do that for Sarah. It's just not going to happen. So I think it's an easy top 3. You got 2 idols and you have one person with the idol's closest ally. I think that's just makes that an easy, easy top 3. And now it starts to get hard. So Alexa, I didn't get your opinion on last episode because you were off in the Alps doing the Sound of Music. What was number 4?
I actually watched the Sound of Music last night. So good reference there. Not to go too far ahead, I have Franny at 4 and Matt at 5. I think Franny and Matt, like you said, Will, are totally fine. And I love it because I love a good showmance. They are so unintimidating because I think showmances, I hope, have finally flipped to where they should be, which is like, let them do their thing. They're not even a voting block because Matt still can't vote. And Matt isn't even intimidating when he has a vote because Danny knows his idol's fake and everyone else assumes he has a real idol. So they're not going to vote for somebody who they think has a real idol. So I actually think they're totally fine.
Yeah,
for
that's what I'm kind of confused with. It's so weird. It's like, I want to say like Danny's move last week was awesome with like putting it back in the birdcage is the obvious thing to do, or like and then hide the key. I think Matthew's was a little bit more interesting because he chose who his target was. Like he had his mark. I'm going to make Jamie find this and think it's real. But Matt finding this is like, even this idol is completely fake. Everyone believes it's real. So does he actually have a fake? Like, I know it's an actually fake idol, but if everyone thinks your idol is real, it's just as good as a real idol. They're not going to target you right now. And it seems also, just subtly from watch, it seems like Franny has like always been kind of more connected to the rest of the tribe strategically on what's going on. Like she had that conversation with Claire last week. She seems like she was the one initiating the distancing between her and Matt. So Franny was at that conversation at the well with Heidi and Danny, and Matt wasn't nowhere to be found. So I don't think they're going to target Franny either. So that's why I agree with you. I have them very high as well.
I'm really curious what happens if Sarah tries to use her inheritance advantage or if somebody tries to use a knowledge is power on one of these fake idols because they're not real, but I bet they'll let them take it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't lie about what you don't know about. So you're not technically lying. Like I can say, yes, this is an idol. Is that what does Jeff come in and be like, hey, no?
Yeah, I still think he throws it in the fire and then it's just not like he has to say this isn't a real idol to everybody.
Why?
Because otherwise the votes need to be nullified if the votes are cast for that person.
Oh, I'm not talking about when they're playing it. I'm saying
no, if they steal it.
If they steal it. So it's like, do you have an idol or advantage? And I say I have a fake idol, so I say yes. I technically am lying. Like, I'm not telling you the truth because I don't have a
– yeah.
And it says in the thing you're not allowed to lie. So, I mean, it definitely is kind of a gray area. I don't know. It's a good question.
Very interesting. Yeah, because I don't know how that would go. And hopefully knowledge is power just doesn't show up. Because right now I think there's enough going on that I think we have, like, enough, like, gamesmanship going. And I think the players are having to do enough that I don't think we need knowledge is power to come in and make it even more chaotic.
Can you just say on Jeff's podcast that he loves it and it's like not going away?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it needs to come in now is what I'm saying.
Right. I think the inheritance advantage is kind of this season's knowledge is power, but instead of like getting someone to just pass it around, it's like you have to get someone to actually use their thing, like play your advantage.
Yeah. All right. Will, who do you have it for?
I have Matthew at 4. I mean, especially anytime we did this, Phil, it's like you have an idol going into a swap. that person would always, you know, end up near the top of our rankings. We usually didn't even know how the tribe shook out. At least for, I think, half the time, we'd be like, we don't know who's going to swap to who. So you have an idol. You're in the top. So I that's the main reason. Like, he has an idol. Let's see who. Yeah, Carson comes over. I think I kind of fear for Carson. He's kind of I think the leader of that tribe. So give me Matthew.
Yeah, I was going to put Matthew there because of what you just said, but with how much attention was put on Matthew trying to, like, how great of a moment it was for him to build that trust with Jamie, because he got her to find the idol. He was with her. He pretty much dragged her to it, and it was, like, such a great move for him. For her to then be separated from him, there was a lot of emphasis on how good that was for Matthew, and, like, how, like, that was, like, him building, like, that was his tightest person now, and he brought her in. Now he doesn't have her, and well, who is he tightest with?
Yeah, but that seems also to show up that Jamie has a fake idol, and now she's being swapped on a tribe or on her lonesome, where she, I mean, if they go to tribal, she likely is the target. She likely knows she's the target. We've already seen her play her shot in the dark. She likely plays that idol thinking it's real. And so you kind of have to – we had to see that scene, and I know that the emphasis was on Matt or Matthew, but it was a good move. I mean, it was fun. It was a fun scene. So where are you guys at with, like, all the fake idols and stuff? I've seen people are, like, mad.
They don't bother me as much as I thought they were going to, because everybody was like, well, you know, Matthew at least made his fake idol, so that's good, but production's giving out fake idols. I actually think the production twist of the fake idols being somebody else's real idol is fun. I just think it's going to be really weird now. It just adds another element, because now if Matt meets up with somebody from another tribe and he's like, and they show him their idol and are like, look, I have a, this is a real idol. He's going to be like, okay. But then Danny's going to see that. Like, let's say somebody tries to build confidence with Danny and they show him the coin one, which is real for their tribe, but wouldn't be real for Danny's tribe. Danny's gonna be like, well, that's the fake idol. So they're lying to me and they're trying to use, like they don't even realize that they have a fake idol. Now Danny goes to vote them out, not realizing that's a real idol. I'm fine with this stuff because it's creating chaos. And I know it's a lot of production interference, but at this point, that's what it's going to be. I'd rather be in this faction.
But yeah.
It's like production's playing the game for people, you know?
Yeah,
I don't mind it, but I'm like, they've clearly been able to make their own idols, fake idols before. I think that's like the argument people are making.
Yeah, I'm okay with it for a couple reasons. It's like, since, I don't know, probably 10 seasons now, maybe more, it's like they've been pretty upfront that, like, idols can look like anything. They give them a bunch of beads and twine and rope on their torches, their bags. Like, making a fake idol isn't something that is hard anymore. That's not difficult to do. I think, you know, when Bob was, like, making paint out of, like, leaf oil and, like,
yeah.
Like, that was awesome because he had to make his own paint. But now they give them so much stuff to make idols. Like, who cares that they've just given them a coin? They could have found the coin on the torch and untied it and put it in anyway. Yeah. So, like, it doesn't really bother me. And the birdcage, it kind of needs the fake thing. Like,
has to have it.
You kind of – it's like, if someone finds it, great. It's like you kind of need to put a dummy in there. And I guess you could say – be more interesting if the players arrived at that themselves, which honestly I think most of these people would. Like, hey, I need to take what's out, leave the note, put it back in, do that whole song and dance. So it doesn't bother me so much, because I think this all happens anyway and we're just getting there faster.
Mm-hmm. At four, I have Franny instead of Matthew or Matt. I think Franny's the safest, because, well, you brought up that one scene. Like, it was her, Heidi, and Danny.
Yeah.
I still think Matt is in the most trouble because Matt doesn't have a vote. And I think that he could be targeted, even though they think, oh, he has a real idol and everything like that. It could still be this is a perfect time to flush it because we have Jamie now and we can do that. And Danny knows that he's not taking a risk there. And to get Heidi to make that vote, maybe he does tell her that it's a fake idol or something, or just keep it really hush hush. Don't let him know. Like, I think he can get away with this.
It is so, it's actually so funny that Jamie's the one going to this tribe.
Yeah.
Because she found the fake, and then Matt's found the fake. They can't compare notes, because all it takes is one of these people to, whoever found the real one, once it's played, like, wait a second. No, Jamie was on the try with Brandon. When Brandon found it publicly, did he show everyone, like, look, there's also this, you found a fake idol,
I doubt
like,
it.
That you can use.
I don't think, like, he did.
He opened it in front of everybody, though. and he read the whole thing. So like,
I don't remember.
I don't think it came up. I don't think
we saw it, but there is a chance that every single Orange player knows that there are production given fake idols. And that if Jamie's there and Matt's like, yeah, I found an idol. She's like, oh, well, did it come with the note with the fake thing? And
yeah.
Matt's like, no. And then that could start unraveling. Likely that doesn't happen, or else we would have seen that scene. But
yeah,
it's not like, and I think that's why I'm okay with these fake idols too, is because if you talk to enough people, once we get going in this game with swaps and merge, you should be able to figure out, like, it's going to get around that there are fake idols all over this island this season. Like, that's going to get out, and you have to be a good enough player to suss out if you have one of them.
Yeah, no, and I think Franny is just in the best spot out of Jamie or Matt, though, because then if they start talking about the fake, I actually think Jamie would come to Franny first, maybe to try to bond. I think that's probably who she'd go to, either her or Heidi. I think that's where she's going. So, I don't know. I just think Franny's in a better spot. I think she's okay this week. And then my number five, somebody we haven't brought up yet, I have Lauren at five because she has an extra vote. And like on that tribe, it was really hard to see where Lauren stood after everything shook out after the first tribal council. I still don't really know where she stands. But if she feels like she's on the wrong side of things, she can bring Carson in. And Kane's definitely on the outside looking in, even if he said last week that he wasn't. He's definitely on the outside looking in. So if Lauren, Kane, and Carson teamed up, they wouldn't even need her extra vote, but she has an extra vote if there's a need to play it. So I think I like Lauren's positioning on a tribe where I have definitely have the hardest time seeing who would be voted out of the Orange tribe this week.
See, I'm not with you that Kane was on the outside looking in. I know he cast the only like vote on to Brandon, but especially from the scene we got from last week, it was super positive, laughing. I think everyone likes Kane, and we have a new tribe member coming in. Like, we have to remember that. I know so many people didn't vote, but the numbers were on Brandon to get him out. Like, just because like he survived, he also had to play his idol. So we haven't seen this tribe go back to tribal council. And also, Matthew, it's not like Matthew wanted to vote with Brandon. That's why he played a shot in the dark, to avoid voting even. So it's not like if you're really with Brandon, like, you probably cast a vote to make sure he's not going home. So I actually think Brandon is probably in the worst situation on that tribe. I'm not saying he's in the bottom of my rankings, but I don't fear for Kane as much as you do.
You have Kane at five?
No, I don't. I don't even – before I talk, I mean, I have Franny at five. I've said that. And I have Matt at six. I've given my reasons over and over now why I think that couple is here to stay. So, yeah, those are my five and six.
All right, Alexa, who do you have at six?
My six is Lauren, kind of the same. Phil, you and I have been doing this for too long together. I think
– But this is so crazy because, like, I have Lauren at seven, just to interrupt, and I never talked to you guys about this. And, like, I've not changed my ranking since the tribe swap either. So it is weird.
It is pretty crazy. But I think we all, like, use the same philosophy of, at this point, every single vote matters, and Lauren has an extra vote. And – it is public knowledge on her tribe. So everyone knows that. And I don't really think that can be used against her because there are still so few people around. So I don't know. I think Lauren's fine. She was very evil at the beginning, and now she's kind of taken a little step back, like an Alec Gabler, perhaps.
Maybe, perhaps. Yeah, she's got to come up with a cute nickname like that. A great nickname like that.
Yeah.
But if you're this Orange tribe too, why not just get rid of Carson? Like, why not just vote Carson out of the game if you go to tribal council? Because that other tribe then is down to three people. He definitely, I mean, if he's surviving, you're sitting there saying, okay, something's up, because he must have good relationship with them because he's the smallest guy out there. I know he did the puzzle very quickly at the last tribal, but if they're thinking along terms of tribal strength, why, like, that Carolyn Jam Carson, even if you're not getting all the information like we were, it seems kind of obvious that, like, there's something going on with the three of them for Helen to be the one voted out. Like, I don't know. It just feels obvious to me. Maybe it's just because I'm watching the game. But why wouldn't you just get rid of Carson at this point? And why would you ever target Lauren? Now, Will, you said maybe they go for Brandon. I think that makes more sense because you know Emerge is coming. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is your chance to get rid of a big, strong player who already played an idol correctly, even though the jury didn't see it. He's going to be able to talk about that. I just think that, like, Lauren has to be safe. Like, she just has to. If she goes home, something crazy happens in this episode.
Yeah, honestly, we could probably put Lauren higher. I just think we don't know her all that well.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, I could see her kind of, I don't know. Like if she fell off the show, surprisingly, it wouldn't be like one of these huge losses. Like if Carolyn just went home this week, I'd be like flabbergasted. And also like her advantage, everyone knows about it, but you know, if someone has an idol, it's like, let's flush the idol. You have an extra vote, everyone's like, okay.
Like, you have an extra vote.
We'll work with that.
Right, and at like, five people, the extra vote actually is kind of weak because if you don't have the numbers, the best your extra vote can do is cause a tie.
Yeah, then go to rocks pre-merge. Like, if people aren't trying to flush extra votes. So I don't worry too much for Lauren. She does. Yeah, she's my seven.
I have Heidi at six. I think last week was a good week for Heidi. I think it was really important to see that she was close with Danny, and maybe she feels closer with Danny than Danny feels with her. But I think Danny is trying to implement the anti-Jeremy Collins. And I'm not saying that these people are lesser players than him, but I think he's trying to implement a game where he surrounds himself with people he thinks he's better at the game than, but not necessarily outwardly better. It's just, he knows he can beat them. He knows he can manipulate them. And I think he views Heidi as somebody who like, he can work with until he doesn't need her anymore. And I think Matt is somebody that he views as, I have this guy in my pocket. He doesn't know what to do. Like, I just think that's where Danny is going. He's not looking for meat shields. He's thinking, who can I sit with at the end already? And I think Heidi is in a really good spot here because Jamie comes over. I think Jamie is immediately going to go to Heidi to try to say, hey, what's going on this tribe? I think that's just warm where they're so similar, their backstories, things like that. I think that will work for them. And Jamie goes to Heidi and Heidi says, well, I'm close with Danny. Okay, great. Well, this is what's going on. And I don't think Heidi's going to overshare information that's going to get Danny to say, you know what? I need to vote out Heidi instead of voting out Matt or Jamie. And I just think Jamie's the easy boot there, to be completely honest. But
how do you convince – so let's say that happens. So Jamie, Heidi, and Danny become like a three. Who are you targeting? Who's because they're gonna say let's vote out Matt, but then it's like, wait, what if he plays his idol? Then it's gonna be one of us three. And it's like, well, we could vote out Franny, but Franny seems so tight with them, and just like it just seems like that's why I have Franny and Matt both so high. It's like, yes, I could see them, you know, being a two against three in some way, like you're saying. It's like what you just said makes sense, but then who are you actually voting out of the game, and how does that actually happen? So that's why I'm not as high on Heidi or Jamie.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Alexa, who's your seven?
I have Brandon at seven. I think I'm the first person to mention him. We've just spent a lot of time talking about how people – value challenge strength, whether or not that is the most important aspect. And he has that, but he also, from the little we've seen of him at this point, other than the premiere, he does seem like a little loyal ally. He wanted to work with Matthew. That seems to have kind of just disappeared. I think that is like the worst edited tribe this season, probably with how much Matthew's been moving around and changing allies. But I don't really see why anybody would want to get rid of Brandon right now. I think he's a solid challenge performer. He's a solid alliance member.
I have Matthew at my seven. I do have Brandon lower. I'm not quite in as agreement with Will if Will does put Brandon at like one or two of his bottom slots. But I have Matthew here because I think Matthew, like we said already, has an idol. But I could also see like this is an opportunity, even though he has that real idol with Carson coming in. And we've seen Carson be very, very like slippery, right? He's conniving. He knows what he's doing. This could be an opportunity for him to try to pull together another band of misfits, or at least people who are feeling like misfits. And that might be Lauren and Kane. And if he pulls together Lauren and Kane, it might be possible to pull a fast one on Matthew, which is why I don't have Matthew in my top five. I have him at seven instead.
I feel like that would be really, we saw Carson be sneaky and slimy when he had the opportunity to do that. Like he was the split vote. It was 2-2. He had all the power, so he was able to play both sides. He's coming in alone on a tribe that we just saw has been getting along, has only been to one tribal council. I don't know if he's gonna be able to kind of put all the pieces together to take out somebody who we've seen be very astute and somebody who does have an idol. But I mean, I get why Matthew might be targeted. I just think Matthew will be able to work through it should he encounter something like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. And I don't have Carson listed yet. And actually, none of us have Carson listed yet. So yeah, we're all kind of in the same boat here. This isn't a good swap for Carson. Carson was sitting really pretty coming into this, but he is not in a good spot right here. Will, who is your number eight?
Eight, I have Kane. I've already said how I think Kane. I know, like, that was the narrative after that first tribal council. Well, that's like a long time ago in terms of Survivor time. They are sitting there on this beach, yeah, you know, all day long. So I think he's ingratiated himself. And even if Brandon's targeting him, again, Brandon was the one they wanted to go home. He's only here because he played an idol. It's not like he refound the idol. That idol has been found. So even if Brandon wants one, he can't have one because Matthew has it. So I think Carson is in a good spot. We've seen him talk to literally everybody. Like, he's talked to Lauren. I mean, we obviously saw him talk to Matthew.
You're talking about Kane, you mean, not Carson.
Who am I saying? Yes.
Kane. Yeah, you said Carson's in a good spot. I was like, wait, where did I go?
Kane,
yeah.
Sorry. Kane is in the spot that I like because he's not being swapped and he has a good relationship with everybody on his tribe, except like the only person who we've heard say anything bad about Kane is Brandon. And that was right after he got a vote for him. And now it's been that was a while ago in Survivor time. So I think Kane gets through this, even if they go to tribal. Are we even talking about like which one of these tribes we think is
going? Well, I think we're going to get there at the end here when we get to like our bottom three or four. We got to keep the suspense going before we actually reveal. Because once we say who we think's going, then it's done. So
stop listening.
No, I don't want to listen.
Okay. We got to keep everybody going. Alexa, who's your number eight?
How this works.
I have Matthew at number eight. He's totally fine, but I think he's playing a little recklessly. I think he's doing crazy things, kind of just to do crazy things. Like, to make an alliance member just to give them a fake idol, that is not going to work out for you, especially if that person gets to the jury. You think Jamie's going to play that, realize it was fake the whole time, and then vote for Matthew at the end? I just think the long game on that is really questionable. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I don't really know why he's making the moves he's making. So I think he's playing, I think he is safe. But I think he's playing in a way that's like kind of confusing to me. And it just makes me a little nervous. I feel like it could bite him in the butt, but I don't think that would happen.
He's just very aggressive, right? Like, I think his style is just super, like, it seems subtle because he pulled this over on Jamie.
Yeah.
But I feel like to us, it's very clear that like he is playing hard. Like he is going in on this thing. And I think, I don't know. I think eventually Matthew's almost going to war dog himself, where it's going to be like things are going pretty smooth, but he just like needs to make that move, and he's going to make the move, and it's just either going to backfire on him. Then it's going to keep him in the game for a couple more boots, or he's just going to go home like right after that. Like, I just think he can't sit still. And I think that the best Survivor players in this new era, whether it be Marianne, Erica, or Gabler, they pick their moments. And then they just stop. Like they chill and they don't try to make a move when they don't need to make a move. They trust their own process. And I don't think Matthew necessarily like is okay with playing that type of game, which is the best type of game I think to play in this new era.
Yeah.
It's funny that because when Alexa, you're talking about how his idol play, and then I was thinking about Danny's, because like, you guys just both talked, you kind of talked me in because I had not really looked at Matt that way, but I think you're Matthew that way. And you guys kind of convinced me because I'm thinking about this idol play. I actually thought it was more impressive because he chose who was going to end up with it. Whereas Danny just like, I'm just going to leave it out. We'll like see what happens. That seems more wild and crazy to me, but you just brought up the jury point. Now it's like, Jamie's like, why'd you target me? Like we were walking, getting worms together and you just like put an idol in front of me and we're allies. Like what is going on? Mm-hmm. Whereas Danny can be like, yeah, there was a fake idol in the birdcage. Of course, I'm going to like leave it out somewhere. I didn't want you guys to know. Sorry, Matt, you ended up finding it. So even one initially to me that appeared like Matthew seems a little bit more like well thought out because he had a target. It sounds right to me that like Danny has a better cover story for, you know, whoever ends up finding, you know, for Matt who has that. It's like, sorry, man, like I'm playing hard. That was in there. Whereas, yeah, Jamie's like, what, why? Like, why?
Yeah.
Even though we heard from Matthew, why? I still don't know if I quite understand it. So, yeah.
And I really like, Alexa, what you said there, because with this, if this plans out or this plays out for Matthew and Jamie positively, like they get deep in the game and now one of them's in trouble and Jamie goes, well, I'll play my idol. And he goes,
Matthew's
well,
like, that's crap. Not real.
Like he has to admit it at some point, pretty much almost in every situation. Like he almost doesn't have a choice but to admit it. So it is a weird situation because once you have to admit that to Jamie, she's not going to trust you anymore. And at that point, do you just let her go home? I don't know. It's definitely a weird situation, but
It's weird for both of these because it's, you know, whenever we've seen fake idols before, it's you plant it on your enemy to make them feel safe, to stop searching for the real one, because then they're not going to scramble. They even if they're on the bottom, like even in Danny's situation with Matt, he goes up like, hey, I know you're my boy. Like I saw you find it. Like they, it seems like they have a pretty good relationship. It's not like they're on opposing sides. So it's weird that this is happening twice where it's like you want the person to have it to be your enemy. Because now it's going to come out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my number eight, the highest out of any of us, I have Coach's niece, Sarah Wade, sitting here at number eight. And I think that of everybody, this swap was pure perfection for Sarah. I think this worked out phenomenally for her. She's in trouble if the people who get swapped do get some sort of like automatic safety, like we saw Chris Underwood get or Natalie Anderson get, or, you know, like I'm talking when Edge of Extinction was going on. But if there's no automatic safety for Josh, he is the easiest boot ever. And Sarah is so safe. And that's why I'm putting her here, because I don't think there's going to be automatic safety. I think that there might be something that they can use to their advantage, but they're going to have to work to make it work for them, because Survivor has been better about that, where like you, like this could work for you really well, but you need to make it work for you really well. It's not necessarily just going to be Jeremy Collins running down the beach at night to find the idol and be like, haha, I took a chance. It's like, dude, everybody thought you're taking a dump. Like nobody's worried about it. I think that Sarah benefits so much from this. There's an easy target now. And what benefit do Jam Jam and Carolyn get from voting out Sarah? And I don't think Sarah gets much of a benefit from saying, hey, let's team up, Josh, because now it's 2-2, and then Jam Jam and Carolyn are just going to be like, let's get rid of her. She has no reason to be sneaky. She doesn't really trust them. But if she hits the merge, that's when she can start playing a different game. I think this was phenomenal for her. I think she's totally safe this week.
Yeah, I think Sarah's in a good position. I have her a teeny bit lower down, but she is definitely in a much better position. I would say more, but I don't want to spoil anything.
I have Sarah at 9, and I think am I on that? So
yeah, that's what you're on.
I'm with you that I had Sarah higher even. Maybe I didn't have a higher. I think I had her about the same. I didn't move her because this swap was really good for her. You are kind of worrying me, Phil, about this like potential advantage that these players could get. But
there
was something about last week where Sarah's like, I'm so clearly on the bottom. Everyone's laughing. I'm laughing a little bit less because I know if we lose, I'm going home. That just screamed to me that Sarah is not going to go home. That there's going to be, you know, something that changes up what's happening on the tribe. And of course, we have a tribe swap now. So I think, especially from what we've seen with Josh too, it's not like the player going in there is someone that, I don't know. I don't feel good about Josh's chances of like convincing Jam Jam and Carolyn to flip on to Sarah. If it was someone else we'd seen a little bit more of and we knew they could, you know, play a little bit harder. All we've heard about Josh is that he's a little unpredictable and suspicious, even though we've only heard that. We haven't actually seen Josh be suspicious or unpredictable. That's just
getting hosed by the edit.
Yeah. I mean, it was so weird when that came up last week. Frank's like, Josh is just so suspicious and unpredictable. And it's like, since when? But no one was like, Franny, what are you talking about? They're all like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he doesn't have good relationships. Yeah. That's what we heard. He's not good at relationship building. And I think he's a perfect spoiler, maybe for myself. He's a perfect swap type boot because he has gotten nothing. And all we did hear about him last week was he's not good at building relationships. How is he going to go over there and build relationships then with Jam Jam and Carolyn and Sarah? Like, I think Josh is in deep doo-doo as we head forward. But Alexa, who do you have at nine?
For number nine, I have Kane. I think the benefit of being the person, like, he's the person who was in the most trouble after the premiere, but then they kept winning. And I think that kind of just erodes that target. And now I really don't know who would have been in trouble. We're also getting a lot of like positive, cute content from him. And I don't really know why he would like be taken away from us after that. And then just to keep that going, because you guys were just talking about Sarah, I have Sarah next at number 10. Still like on the bottom, but Jam Jam and Carolyn didn't seem like it ever had a problem with her necessarily. It was sort of just two different sides. They were just voting two different ways. So I do think she has another life, but at the same time, she still doesn't have someone necessarily.
Yeah. I also have Kane at nine. Will, you talked a lot about Kane and you kind of like broke down where he's at. I do think he's in a better position than Brandon. I feel like the reason I said he's on the outside looking in is just because like that was so focused on at the beginning of 2 weeks ago. But last week he definitely had a positive episode and we were definitely supposed to feel like, hey, he's making progress. So I do have him a little bit higher than Brandon and Carson, who are both on his tribe now. And then at number 10, I have Matt. So I'm finally throwing Matt into the mix. Matt feels like to me, like now that we've seen 3 weeks of him, he is like really close to Eric Reichenbach and Ian Rosenberg, where it's like he is just like there. He's fun. He's a nice guy. He might be in a little over his head. And like you can't help but like root for him, because when he's talking about how he's got the idol and stuff, you're laughing because you're so happy that he thinks he's got it. But then you feel so bad. But it's almost like kind of like a lost puppy kind of thing where it's like, I don't know. Like he's such a likable guy. And he is kind of like, it's just, how can everything keep going wrong for him? And how can you not kind of enjoy him growing up on the island? And I feel like that's what Eric and Ian both were. And I feel like he is falling very close to that trajectory right now where he is going to get duped. And we're all going to sit there and we're going to.
He's already been duped.
Yeah, he's already been duped.
He's been duped pretty badly already.
And we're all going to laugh and we're going to be like, oh, Matt, like, you're so silly. Like, what a fun character that was. And like, I think he's going to take it as well as Eric and Ian both did, where it was like, what am I going to do? So I have him. I do think he is short for this game. I don't think he's long for this game. But I do think that the way these tribes shaped up, Jamie just makes so much sense on that tribe. And they don't.
I was going to say, if Matt goes home this week, how does that happen?
Jamie teams up with Danny and Heidi. And for some reason, they decide.
And then Danny reveals, like, hey, guys, that idol is not real.
So we can't
Matt. Yeah. That's really the only way. Will, who do you have at 10?
Who do I have at 10? I have Heidi at 10. I've said this already. Like, I'm not buying that Danny and Heidi are this like super tight duo. I think that she thinks they are, but I think Danny will work with anybody and do whatever is best for himself. Like he's here to play. And I think he is really good at it's just so weird. The last episode, just to see how it's almost like everyone on the tribe felt like it was, you know, that was his best friend. So, I don't think that, I just don't believe in that relationship from Heidi's side of things. So the way she goes home here is something like Phil, she gets the advantage, whatever that is, that's what Jamie has. And then Danny decides to go with Franny and Matt and then lose Heidi somehow. Not very likely, but I just don't, there's nothing protecting her right now. There's nothing, there's no one looking out for Heidi's best interest other than Heidi. She doesn't have any advantages. So, I can see that happening.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I'm gonna kill the Orange tribe here because I don't think Orange is going to tribal. Okay. So I have at number 11, I have Carson.
Same.
And at number 12, I have Brandon.
Wait, I was gonna have Brandon lowest as everybody. So you are also, you have Brandon as the lowest one on Orange.
You convinced me.
Wow.
You switched it. You switched.
I did.
Phil loves to do that.
I'm going to give you credit on this though, and
so no, no wonder why your rankings are always the same. You're like going down and
well, just take this for what it is, and take the damn win. Compliment. All right,
take the win.
But I think what you're saying with Brandon makes sense because like he was the one they wanted out all of them. They can all say that's not who they wanted out, but it is
vote so that she can get an extra vote, you know?
Yeah.
Matthew didn't know what was going on, so he's just like, I'm not voting.
And he knew what was going on. He just didn't want to pick a side in case the idol was played, because they all knew he had the idol, so it was a ballsy move by Maddie. And so I feel like Brandon to this group is like, we can get rid of him, especially a merge is coming, and Carson is going to fit in personality-wise with this tribe. If this was the old school Survivor, like, I would say, you know what? Carson's really safe. And my reason would be he's going to bond with that tribe. Like, if this was a normal swap and this is how it broke out, I'd be like, Carson's okay here. But because it's so early in the game, we haven't seen a swap in a while, and we haven't really gotten much from the Orange tribe in terms of what their dynamics are, I worry just a tad bit for Carson, which is why I have him at 11 and like the second lowest on this tribe. But I feel like him and Kane are going to bond so well. I feel like him and Matthew, for their love of the game, are going to bond so well. And honestly, like, I think him and Lauren are going to bond well, because I think Lauren, even though she's playing a pretty solid game right now, still views herself as a little bit of an underdog. And I know Carson views himself that way too. I think that Brandon doesn't fit in with this tribe personality-wise. And I think that's going to hurt him. But I also think that out of all the tribes, when you look at them, because they do have Brandon, and now they have the best puzzle person on the show with Carson, they're not going to finish third. They might finish second, but they're not going to finish third.
Yeah, potentially. I think it's funny. I know we talked a lot about challenges and tribe strength, because you could say, if you're that tribe, it's like, look, we've already swapped. We're going to go to a merge soon. We can get rid of Brandon, who's a big physical threat. And as we get into individual immunity challenges, a lot of times it is like how strong and, like, you know, how much endurance you have. Whereas currently, like, I would argue Carson is the one of the stronger challenge competitors, because a lot of these tribe challenges end in some sort of puzzle. So I think for that reason, it's like that works totally in Carson's favor over Brandon's favor. I have Carson at 11 and Brandon at 12. Of course, there is the chance that this tribe is just, they're kind of kumbaya. That's kind of what we saw last week. Carson comes in. Sorry, bud. Like, we're already a tight, what do they have, five? They were already a tight five. You know, Jamie went away, but we are still going to stick together as a group. Carson, you're out of here. So, like, that's totally within the realm of possibility. But I think Brandon is in more danger on the tribe.
Yeah, I agree. Alexa, you said you had Carson at 11 as well.
Yeah, you guys covered a lot of it, but I think we were shown that Carson can relate to a lot of different personalities. I think no one would have ever assumed that he would be in a group of three with Jam Jam and Carolyn. So I think that he'll be just fine. I think he performs well in challenges. We see him telling us that everybody trusts him, and we see people actually doing that. I think he'll be fine. I have him really low just because he is swapped into a tough situation, but he's probably going to be completely fine.
Yeah.
But I guess I do have three of my bottom four are swap people.
Yeah, I feel like we have to, like, that's the wise thing to do. Maybe that's why we have such similar rankings as well.
Yeah.
I think so. Alexa, who'd you have at 12?
I have Heidi at 12. I like what you said, Will. She doesn't really have anything protecting her. And I mean, in Claire's exit press, she said that she had been kind of like accidentally tipped off from Heidi, like in the challenge, where Heidi was like, Claire was trying to chit chat during the sit out bench, and Heidi was like, let's just watch the challenge, see how the challenge goes. So I don't know. I think from Heidi, she's not lying to her ally. Like, I'm not seeing a lot of like intense gameplay from her, I guess, but I also just I don't really know who she's aligned with. I don't really know where she's going. So I do have her in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I still think Heidi's really safe. I know that I'm in the majority here, or the minority.
I hope so.
Here, but I really think that she's going to be okay here. I think that last week was actually a pretty good episode for her.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. She's
in the same position, kind of.
It honestly feels like with the new era, there's not any sides on tribes anymore. It's not like these people versus these people. It's like every time, and of course, you know, trust clusters and voting blocks and all that, we've seen that. But it feels like even more so in the new era that it's just – Like, all right, who has their vote today? Let's start with that. And then, like, let's just make sure it's not us. And it doesn't – it's been – like, the lines are as blurry as they've ever been. And it's crazy saying that because in 33, we're like, whoa, there's no alliances.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Clusters and people moving around. This is wild. But now it's like – I think that's why we are so confused on who's – people's like number one ally are, or who they're like really close with, or how do the numbers shake. It's like we really don't know, because I don't even know if the players know. Like, I don't think it's something that's being omitted from the screens, where it's like we're not gonna kind of let everyone's game in or else it'd be too obvious. I think like day to day they don't really know who they're all working with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think this type of swap makes that even more the case.
Mm-hmm.
We have this. We all have the same bottom two, and I'm starting to feel like we all have it in the same order. Alexa, you and I already said it pretty much. I mean, I have Josh at 14, and I have Jamie at 13. Just because I think Josh's tribe is most likely to go to tribal council. And when I look at this, like Jamie's definitely in a bad spot. I think going over to where she is, because I do think Soka's pretty tight, and with Matt still not having a vote, it's very hard to change the numbers there. But wow, does Josh scream old school swap boot? I mean, my God, he is literally like, he is a reincarnation of Tyrone from Nicaragua, where it was like, why is this guy getting no screen time? And it was like, oh, swap, he's gone by. Okay. Like, I just feel like Josh is so done. I don't know how he survives. And he's on the smallest and I think now weakest tribe because they don't have a puzzle person. Not because they don't have strength, because Josh is strong. I don't think that they have a puzzle person.
Yeah. I have Jamie 13, Josh 14. I think it is so weird that Josh is being labeled as sneaky when we never saw that. And we actually see, I forget who we wanted, but like one of the few confessionals we got from Josh was like, I actually don't want to vote for Claire. I actually want to vote for a person, whoever. And Danny or the whole situation just made it so that he was never able to communicate with that person to get somebody else out. Claire even said in his exit press, like it was hard to get information out of him. It was hard to get personal information out of him. And that's just a really hard way to make an alliance with somebody. So I think Josh is in huge trouble.
Yeah, I have the same thing. Like it's the weakest tribe. He's on the like he is the weakest game we've seen so far. I mean, from what we just haven't heard or seen him do anything that screams like I can save myself in a really, really dire situation like this.
Yeah.
We did not ever really see that Sarah was like, you know, truly on the bottom. We heard that from her, and I know they all voted against Helen, but it's not like Jam Jam or Carolyn were like, yeah, Sarah's next to go. I can't wait to go to tribal council and vote out Sarah. It's like, I think they still wanted to work with Sarah. Like, they had to vote someone out of their tribe. So, I mean, if it were the case where it was Helen and Sarah and Helen goes home and Sarah is like, you know, they're really after her and they can use Josh to bring in and get Sarah out, that obviously would have been better for Josh. But we have not seen anything that paints that picture. So I think Sarah is pretty well ingratiated into that tribe.
Yeah.
I really think that, yes, Sarah was a victim of circumstance, right? Like it was just because Bruce got hurt. Helen was then targeted. So it made it seem like Sarah's toast. And I don't necessarily.
She did nothing wrong.
And Carson even, they made it a concerted effort to show Carson trying to make amends with Sarah last week, which I think is good for Sarah. Also, I look at confessionals and it's hard not to look at confessionals after Gabler won last year, because Gabler had a confessional in every episode, even though people thought he was the Walking Dead for the entire season. And they are doing more where it is becoming a little bit more of like, who's going to be your important players? Because after 41, they edited the post-merge players so terribly and the pre-merge players so well that we almost felt cheated. And when I look at this right now, Sarah, I feel like is the one we know the least from the purple tribe. She has just as many confessionals as Carson and Jam Jam. And they might not.
I was going to say, I feel like we maybe not know her, like her
she
story.
She talks
but
a lot.
We know where she's at. Like we know what we know she's playing hard. We know she wants to be here. Like we know that she's aware of her position on her tribe.
I think she just might not be saying things as informative as what Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Carson are saying. And she might not like, but she knows like her role and everything. And she's getting a lot of confessionals to the point where she has 13. Josh has four. Like, I just like Josh is just so easily this boot. But then again, Jamie could also still be this boot because Jamie had an okay first episode. We didn't hear from her in episode two. And the only reason we heard from her last week was so that she could kind of be made to look the fool by Matthew. So yeah. I think we're all on the right track. I'd be really surprised if it's not one of these people. And I do think that if it is one of these people, the people who scream Survivor is unfair are going to be screaming it so loudly.
It now. Is unfair.
Yeah, but they're
if you're a Survivor fan that. And you think Survivor is fair, then like, what show are you watching?
Yeah,
it's fair. Never, it's never unfair, but it's not rigged. There's just things going on.
And with right. that, Josh is going home. I think as everybody has that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this podcast and you're one of our $20 patrons, you're probably also going to put Josh at.
Unless well, you really want to smart and you really want to win, you got to mix it up and get a.
No, you quick. Don't. I have an. I have 18 points. I'm winning right now because I
clear your bracket. Time. If you pick like the team that everyone else picks to win, that means you have to beat them in the other games. Whereas I'm in some pools right now, and Phil knows I lost his pool because I had Purdue winning the whole thing in Phil's pool. But I'm in some where it's like, which is weird. I have Alabama winning, and everyone ahead of me doesn't have Alabama. So if they win,
you win. I have Miami.
It doesn't matter about
because I love game. Miami.
That's right, Phil.
Yeah. I picked Miami in a couple too. Phil was texting me so worried about Miami. He's like, I don't know about this game. I was like, Phil, we're going to stop. We're going to win by 15 points. It's going to be easy.
And you were wrong. We won by 16. you said 15. We won by 16. But I just want to, real quick, before we get out of here, I just want to give a quick, really fast update on the prop bet scores because somebody asked about it. Ice X in second place with 15. First place is Daniel Muto with 16. And yes, I realize I just – through a little sorry, Ice X, you're not in first. It's Daniel Muto, ooh. 16, Ice X, 15, Survivor Dylan, 13, Colin Van Blaricum, 13, and that's everybody who has like that amount. There's a couple people with 11, a couple people with 10, and then it's all single digits from there. So I just wanted to throw that in so that people know where they stand as far as that one goes, since we're not doing a boot list this season. I just want to make sure everybody knows where they're at. Power rankings and fantasy game, we'll update like after we do a couple episodes, because right now we're just so early on that like everybody's got kind of the same thing. But Will, any last like brilliant thought? I know you're we stopped doing because this season there are rumors that it is heavily spoiled, and it's very annoying when we try to sit here and do this and we just keep seeing the same list, right? And we're like, oh nice, now we know who wins too. It's very annoying.
Yeah, I wonder. I guess it's not even, yeah, that's a bummer. I guess you could like have people submit it through like a Google form and then just not look at it until the end and then just don't score them.
Well, we do, the thing is we do submit it through a Google form now. But the problem is when you see somebody with a zero, like we can still see like we're like,
just don't look at it. Just don't look at it. Don't update the scores. Just don't look at it till the end.
The other thing that I'll throw in here is normally those people who have zero in the boot list are also the really smart people who comment in the comments about how confident they are this person's going to win and this person's going to lose. So it's really hard to avoid the comments. It's not as hard to avoid the boot list. It's harder to avoid the comments. But when there's no boot list attached to it, I feel like people have less of an incentive to come over here in the group and pretend that they know what's going on.
Gotcha. That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Thanks.
It does. But Will, what's your before we let you go, and I know like I want to go eat dinner, and I know Alexa's like on she's hungry. Like 14 hours off from where she is right now. But what's your prediction for the winner of this season? You got
whoa.
One? Or you could even throw out like one, two, or three people.
It's so funny. I don't even think about like I'm just here for the ride. Like it's
sounds great.
Predicting Survivor at this point with all the stuff in the game, it's like how do you even pull this off? Let's see. Give me Franny.
Franny.
Yeah.
You also loved Kellen, right? Like you were also like a huge Kellen stan. So like, is this just like your type, Will?
Yeah, that's it.
I liked Kellen because she was, I think Kellen was more like loud and quirky. Like I think Franny's like goofy and nerdy, but she actually, from what we've seen of Franny, she seems to like be a little bit more of a gamer than what we saw. Not that Kellen wasn't, it's just what we're seeing. Like the conversations Franny's having, like she had one with Claire last week about how like, yeah, I can get Matt to like vote with me or do whatever. Yeah. Again, I keep going back to that well conversation with Heidi and Danny. So I think we're seeing more game, whereas like Kellen's just kind of on Navidi and they just like stomp Malolo and there wasn't a ton of game for her. And she had an opportunity early in the merge to flip onto Don Wendell and just like never did.
Yeah.
I think Franny would flip on Danny sooner than Kellen. Well, I mean, Kellen never did. We're still waiting. So, still waiting. I do love that. I was a huge fan of Kellen as a character on our screens, but I think Franny has, from what we've seen, just more game.
Love it.
Love it.
I love it. I don't have Franny winning the game. But Alexa, take it on home.
So I am back. Phil and I are going to be back recapping a little after 9 p.m. Eastern time to talk about the swap and who went home. It sounds like it's Josh, according to all three of us. It is nearing the end of the month, which means Phil and I need to schedule some patron podcasts for you all. For those of you who are patrons, send us some suggestions for a retrospective for our $10 and $20 patrons. That one we are always struggling for. We usually do a bracket in March. So we should do some kind of silly bracket. The best one we've ever done is probably the Jeff hat versus Jeff shirt bracket, mm-hmm. which somehow we strung into an hour-long conversation. Absolutely the biggest waste of time that we've ever committed to.
Sunglasses?
No, he didn't always have those.
Yeah.
No, I know he had them for like early. Yeah.
Man, he stopped wearing them because he wanted everybody to see his beautiful eyes.
But go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist to get all of our great Patreon content. And we will see y'all next week. Will, it was a great throwback to have you back on.
And I want to throw this out there too for everybody before we do give Will that. If you're in the New York area for that finale.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Wendell and Bryce are throwing the party of the century. That's what I'm calling it. They're not calling it that. They don't have those types of egos, but I do for them. So they're throwing a huge party. They just announced the locations for they're actually doing a post finale and a night before finale. Party, and they posted that on Instagram, so you can follow there and get the tickets.
Oh, Phil, it's a finale party. It's 5 p.m. to 2 a.m.
I know. I mean, that's crazy.
I can't wait. I don't think.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. when Carl came out, and I hope Carl is listening. When Carl came out to our apartment for the one finale. Did we even go 9 hours like that? I don't even think we went that long. We went out for lunch and started drinking. I still don't think we hit 9 hours, but that's a lot, man. That's a lot. So
they're doing it.
And that's the night before. They're doing like a 4-hour party at another location. So it's going to be awesome. And Alexa and I know we're both going. I already bought my flights. And so we're going to be up there. And if you haven't bought tickets, buy tickets because it's going to be a lot of fun from what I hear. Yeah. I haven't actually been to one yet. But
what day is the finale? When is it?
It's on 24th. Wednesday 24th. So Phil's coming. I'm coming. Intern is coming. Apparently John and McKenna are coming.
Yeah.
Forrest, you can meet us. I think like we're going to be there. It's going to be pretty crazy. I haven't been to one of these like in a really long time. I think Bryce and Wendell have really perfected these parties. It's going to be a total blast. So come through. Come meet us. We're so much cooler in person than we are on the internet.
I am gonna act
better. Also, the bar is a fantastic choice. Anyone who's been to Barry Park knows it's a good spot. So see y'all May 24th. And we'll be there 4:59 p.m. until goodness knows.
I will say though, you guys should probably buy tickets fast because I'm pretty sure like they sell out some of these anyway. And I feel like for the finale, they're probably in New York, like they're gonna sell this out so fast. So
yeah, Wendell put the words hotel block in his post, which is like the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Anyway,
see y'all there.
That's fun. But
we're gonna
also
hype that up until then.
Yeah, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. Will, always a pleasure. Thanks for helping.
Thank you for having me. You guys are crushing it.
Become what we are.
I'm shocked that you guys are still just like
honestly saying
you guys are keeping it going and just growing and growing. So thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.